So our first scripture reading today is from John. Actually, they're both from John. And we're going to talk about Andrew. We're doing some of the lives of the apostles, male, female. And Andrew isn't one that is seen that exciting. But he's got something to say, doesn't he, Penny?
The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him as Andrew, Simon's Peter's brothers. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading, also about Andrew. He's in there. Listen for him, and also from John. Jesus had been teaching and preaching, and after this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the word of the Lord. Now, if you were going to talk about those disciples that were closest to Jesus during his earthly ministry, who would you start with? Now, Andrew is not someone who leaps to mind right away. The Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Mark barely mention him at all. In the book of Acts, he is listed, but he's just in the crowd scenes. It's only in John's gospel that Andrew receives any real attention, and then only as a supporting actor. However, whenever Andrew is mentioned, it is in a specific way. He is introduced as Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Most people are drawn immediately to the Simon Peter part of his introduction. After all, Simon Peter became one of the pillars and founding members of the Christian church. If only Andrew's claim was that he was the brother of a famous man, well, he probably wouldn't be worthy of much study. But I think that the word brother in his introduction is actually the more descriptive word when referring to Andrew. We use the word brother in two ways. First, it is to talk about a family relationship by blood or adoption. But sometimes we use the word brother to describe someone who is especially close to us, like a brother, who is compassionate, supportive, is always there for us. Someone who takes you under his wing and is protective. Someone you can really count on. And Andrew was a brother in both senses of the word. Let me give you some background on Andrew. He was a native of Bethsaida, which is a village on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He was a son of Jonas and the brother of Simon, later to be known as Peter. He was a fisherman who was in business with his brother and his father. He lived a rugged life. He would fish all night with his father and brother, and if things went well, then they would have fish that they would bring to the marketplace. But then the day was not done, because then they would go back to the boats to look for any repairs and to repair the nets. He would be wrestling the nets in and out of the water all night long in all types of weather. So he was a pretty tough guy. Andrew probably knew little about the world outside of Bethsaida. He probably hadn't traveled more than a few miles from his home, except possibly to go to the big religious festivals in Jerusalem. For all that, Andrew was what we might call in our day a spiritual seeker. His soul was seeking with a way to connect more closely with God. And when he heard about a particularly dynamic preacher and holy man in the desert, he went out to see him. And so he met John the Baptist. We forget how big John the Baptist was before Jesus. He had tons of people following him. And Andrew was captivated by John's message, and he watched him baptize many converts. Andrew saw John the Baptist as God's key person and became something of a disciple to the wilderness prophet. However, John kept telling people that someone else was coming greater than he was. And one day, John pointed him out and said, "There he goes, the Lamb of God." Immediately, Andrew and another fisherman, also named John, followed Jesus. When Jesus sensed the two men follow him, he said, "What are you looking for?" And then they invited themselves over to Jesus' house where he was staying, and they listened and talked. And then Andrew did something so very characteristic of him. Having found the Messiah, he dropped everything to go get his brother Simon. Our passage tells us he first, before everything else, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew was not just a brother of the blood to Simon Peter. He was a brother of the Spirit. And he could not wait to help his brother along spiritually. Now, how many times do we find something great and then we leave it to go find our brother and sister, both the blood and the Spirit type? Often we are too entranced by our find to think of anyone else, even our family members. Often we want to savor this wonderful thing or experience we've found. And if you had a brother like Simon Peter, who seems to steal the spotlight, you might think, "Yeah, this is my thing." Simon Peter was dynamic, really a force of nature. And how many times had Andrew, the bit player, been eclipsed by Peter, the star? I doubt that Andrew could remember many times when the spotlight was on him, and that probably was stolen away pretty quickly. Not that Simon Peter was a bad person. In fact, I imagine you probably couldn't help liking him. But it must have been a little tiresome for Andrew, who often had to live in his shadow. Yet Andrew was such a great-souled person, a true brother of both blood and spirit. All he could think of was how great it would be to share this spiritual discovery with someone, and not just anyone, but his brother Simon. So first he found his brother Simon and introduced him to Jesus. You know, as we think about the future of our church and growing, we might try to remember why it is we are here, why UPB is such a great place, and invite others. You know, when someone moves in new, You know, Riderwood is like a mine of places like that. Someone is widowed. Someone, there's a special service that might appeal to them. Special holy days, the Christmas and Easter season. That's the time to invite. Think about that. Be an Andrew. Now, John's gospel tells us another story involving Andrew. 5,000 people and more gathered to hear Jesus, and the day was getting late, and there was nothing to feed these people. And Jesus asked Philip what to do. What a rabbi thing to do. He knows the answer, but he's going to ask you anyhow, see if you do. And Philip despaired. How are we going to feed all these people? It was a sensible answer because it would take about 6 months' wages just to give everybody a little bit. And then Andrew spoke up. Well, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Talk about a drop in the bucket. And yet, Andrew offered all that he had to Jesus. It was just like Andrew, of course, to notice the little boy. His was the type of personality that would not overwhelm a child. He was just the kind of person to be talking to a kid while the other disciples were doing big, important things. You know, the 17th century Spanish painter Murillo painted a picture of Andrew. It depicts Andrew suffering a martyr's death on a cross. And in the foreground, the painter painted a little boy, his little hand over his eyes, and he is weeping. The New Testament gives us just one more story about Andrew, and it's from the 12th chapter of John. It seems that there were some outsiders, some Greeks, that wanted to meet Jesus. They first approached Philip, possibly because Philip was a Gentile name, and they thought they might be able to communicate with him. But Philip immediately went over to get Andrew. Of course he did. Andrew was one of those helpful souls you turn to when you have a task or an appeal to be made, or a cause to be furthered. Andrew helped Philip arrange a meeting with the Greeks and Jesus. And those are the three stories in which Andrew appears. In each one, he is being a brother to someone. And remember how broad are his sympathies. He is a brother to his relative, Simon Peter. And as I've said, sometimes it's hard to be thoughtful to those close to us because sometimes they annoy us the most. Next, he is the brother to a little boy. Often it's easier to ignore those that society tells us are insignificant. And finally, he is a brother to the Gentiles. A person's sympathies must be large to include people who are not PLUs, people like us. But Andrew was that kind of person. And it was just that acceptance and love of the least that led to his death. The Bible tells us no more about Andrew. But church tradition picks up the story as it does with the other disciples. The most reliable tradition tells us that Andrew preached in many lands. Finally, he made his way to Scythia, which is modern-day Russia. And now the people of the Middle East and Near East thought that the Russians were dangerous and barbaric people. But how in character for Andrew to reach out to a despised people in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, Andrew became known as the patron saint of Russia. And of course, since he worked in Greece, he is also the patron saint of Greece. And of course, he's the patron saint of Scotland. And their greatest university, St. Andrew's, is named after him, as well as the Order of St. Andrew's, which observes St. Andrew's Day, November 30th, the traditional anniversary of his martyrdom. If you look up St. Andrew, and the name of a large city, you will probably find several churches named for him, and they'll be Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox and Presbyterian and Baptist and many other denominations. You'll probably find several other institutions named for him as well. That's not bad for a supporting player. It is said that Aegeus, the governor of Patras in Greece, hated Andrew because Andrew had converted his wife and brother. Therefore, he condemned Andrew to death. According to tradition, 7 soldiers beat him with rods, and they fastened him to a cross in the shape of an X, the symbol found on the flag of St. Andrew. Not wanting Andrew to die too quickly, they tied him rather than nailed him to the cross, and there he lingered for days in agony, dying of thirst, exposure, and exhaustion. Tradition says that Andrew preached and prayed to all who passed by, and towards the end he said, "Would, Father, that I had time to teach truth to my murderers." So he died as he lived, a brother to all. Give thanks for the brothers in your lives, and the sisters too. And go out this week and be a brother or a sister to someone else, in the name and strength of Jesus Christ. Amen.